For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A Hall of Fame college basketball writer, my friend Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, is joining us now on the Adam Gold Show. Let me get to North Carolina last night, and I've been selling this notion. They're a defensive team first this year, and I thought their defense was fine last night. Their offense was not, and that's really what cost them, including a bad call or bad non-call at the end against Georgia Tech. What do you see when you watch the Tar Heels this year?
Yeah, I think you have them very well pegged there. I mean, they are an outstanding defensive team, which is, Roy took a lot of heat because they scored a lot of points, and that's not how modern basketball was played in the 21st century and
right.
And all that stuff. But they won three championships. So I'm not saying they weren't really good defensively, but it was an offensive first program. And I think probably that's the ideal for most programs at Carolina's level anyway. But there are years when you get certain personnel, you don't get to select them in a draft. you don't get stuck with them like in high school. You get the best players you can assemble. And sometimes those players are better defensively than they are offensively. And that's certainly the case with this group. Although they're not poor offensively, they weren't good last night, as you mentioned. But they win their games on defense first, and they probably went into this game thinking it wasn't going to be overly challenging, and knowing what was ahead of them. What they needed to remember is you can't do that on the road. Like if Tech was coming into Dean Dome, whatever. You know, it's not going to be a problem.
Right.
These 5, 6, 7 guys are not losing to Georgia Tech at home. But on the road, anything can happen. And you saw at the end, it's interesting because there were 3 calls in the last week at the end of games that were all fouls. And 2 of them were on the road and not called. And 1 of them was a home player with the ball and was called. And because Duke is Duke, it becomes, get Duke,
right.
Gets all the calls. But I don't think that. I think it's Duke was at home. I think, and we saw that last night. The Heels are the Heels. You know, they've won more championships in this century than Duke has, and that's a statement because
yeah.
Duke's won a couple. But it didn't help them, even against a team that's near the bottom of the league.
Right.
So I think it's more a home-road thing. And they got the wrong end of that last night.
There's no question they did. Spoke with an official about it. Spoke with Jay Williams about it. It was on the call for ESPN. And he mentioned it on the game. He goes, why wasn't that a call? You got to give Georgia Tech credit for playing well, because they did.
Yes.
But, you know, I texted with him after the game. It's like, that's a call. That's 100 times in a row. That's a call. And my friend who's an official, a former official, said the same thing. I mean, it's like, that's a call. I don't like the, at the end of, you can't make that call at that time. No, if it's a call, it's a call. Because you're deciding the game as an official.
Yes.
If you decide to not call it, you have inserted yourself in the, yeah. Or whether you're afraid to make the call or not, you have to call the foul a foul. Duke has won 11 of 12. And I was unaware that they had won 11 of 12 and 4 consecutive road games, because in my mind, they're struggling, but we should all struggle like that. So, because, I mean, I believe that they're not playing to their full capabilities yet, but they have won 11 of 12. They're 7th in the country. But I still feel like there's something that they have to deal with defensively. Especially going into the Smith Center on Saturday night. I don't know how you look at Duke, but I was stunned when they put that graphic up right before, I guess before the Virginia Tech game was over, that they had won 10 of 11. It just blows me away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that they are limited in certain ways defensively. They have a group of younger players on the perimeter, so that's not ideal defensively, other than Jeremy Roach, who has been absent for a fair amount of that
right.
Recent stretch. And that doesn't help either, because he does a nice job positionally, and he certainly understands how to play defense at the highest level. But they don't have the ability to block your shot. Here's the number. You'll love this one, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have been aware they've won 11 of 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you aware they're 342nd in the country in block percentage?
Yeah, they don't block shots.
They don't block your shots. So teams can take the ball to the rim on them, and that's hard to deal with.
Yeah.
When you can't discourage that, and teams know they can do that, it's hard to deal with, especially if you don't have like a Houston-style perimeter where their guys are so old and A, they know how to get in your way, and B, mm-hmm. they're really physical and tough. It's hard to manufacture a significant defense, and that's going to be what makes it hard for Duke, and they have to overcome that with an elite offense. And right now they just have a very, very, very good one. They've not gotten over the hurdle to elite. I think some of that's Jeremy's in and out circumstance with the injury, because I really like him as an offensive mm-hmm. player, and I think not having him has kept them from establishing a rhythm offensively. And they've got plenty of time. They've got a whole month, so to get that rhythm back, I think they certainly can do that. And it can be a challenge in March. I don't think they can win it with this team. Because of what I talked about.
Yeah.
But I think they could be in Phoenix if they got the right draw and played to their best.
Yeah, I think Carolina is an absolute national championship contender.
Yes.
And I think Duke, yeah, I think you're right, given the right draw. And I actually think that the one thing, if Kyle Filipowski has his perimeter game down, if he's not, he doesn't have to make what he made like for two games in a row, like 6 of 7 or something silly like that. But if Kyle's, you know, 2 out of 4, 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5 from three-point yeah. range, I think he's unguardable if he's knocking down threes. There just aren't many players who can stay with him. And he's been good defensively. I don't think he's great defensively, but I think he's been good. But that's where I think Duke can take the next step. But I don't anticipate Kyle Filipowski being a 45%. He's not Christian Laettner, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, but he can shoot with the best big guys, and I think we saw a year ago what he was capable of at times, from the standpoint of his 3-point accuracy. But this year he's not, you know, he's been more consistent, but he hasn't had the big games that he had last year. I don't have a problem with him going out and shooting 37.5%. From 3-point range. I think that number is a good number. I think what they really need to do is they need to get more players that are as dangerous as he, and they've got the guys to do that. They've got perimeter young players on the perimeter that can be really. I mean, we saw it in Chicago, and Caleb Foster had his big night
mm-hmm.
In Chicago. We got to see more of that from him. It doesn't have to be every night, because it's not the nature of his role on this team. But I think that he can be that guy more often. His shot is so compact. He really should be that guy more often. Jared McCain is, you know, he had the tough night in Chicago when I saw these guys in person, but he's been much better lately, but I still think he's capable. You know, the numbers they're shooting are fine. But they have to be confident enough to get into position to take more shots. I mean, when you look at guys that are shooting the number of shots that they are at the percentages they're making them, that's not high volume. Foster's only shot 50 all year. McCain a little bit more. He's got 107 attempts. Proctor's only got 78. He's well over 40%. He's only taken 78. So I think that, I think those guys can be more active and more dynamic than they've been. And I think that would elevate, that would make it easier for Filipowski, and I think it would elevate Duke's operation.
First of all, I think McCain is ultimately their best three-point shooter. McCain and Roach are their two best three-point shooters. But if Proctor is shooting it at a high percentage, that's a tough guard because they're going to have three shooters on the court minimum at all times. Filipowski becomes four. And right. And Mitchell's not a 10% three-point shooter. He's barely taking them now, but he's going to make a couple when that are going to hurt teams. I'll make that prediction now. Remember, when he hits two in the second round of the NCAA tournament, you'll think of me, Mike DeCourcy.
I will indeed.
National college basketball writer for the Sporting News, a Hall of Famer when it comes to covering the sport of college basketball. Let me ask you about college sports real quick. We have attorneys general in Tennessee and Virginia suing the NCAA. So I don't know if I'm missing anything. I think I know the answer to this. I really want your thoughts on the NCAA is begging and the NCAA is made up by the schools. All the schools are the NCAA. NCAA is begging Capitol Hill to put up guardrails and restrictions on name, image, and likeness. And now the attorneys generals are coming at them. Coming at the NCAA saying, yeah, that's an antitrust violation and you're running afoul of the law. Why don't we just get rid of the stuff that we can't police anyway?
I don't understand that part of it. I saw that one of the comments I just saw on Twitter that suggested that they just said, well, let's just see if we're a going concern here. And I'm like, that's not how businesses operate, man. there are people at the NCAA whose job it is enforcement. And so until someone tells them not to do their jobs or to do their jobs to police specific things, then let's just say academic fraud would be one that they could police, or whatever there might be still out there in the rule book. Or let's say, paying people to go to football stadiums and film the other sideline, that would be something that they could police. Those kinds of things I think they still can police. But why they're doing this, I don't know. Because what they're alleging at Tennessee.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It seems to be, and I think you would agree with this assessment, pretty much standard operating procedure in high major athletics now.
Yeah.
And so why they're choosing to go after Tennessee for this, I don't understand. And why they would put themselves in that circumstance. But I just don't understand why you don't stand back and say, look, we can't police this as it is now because this is what it's become. And it's become this because of state laws. And there is no federal law. And so because of that, they really are powerless in this, but it seems like they want to continue, the enforcement division wants to continue to assert some level of power, authority, control, whatever you want to call it, in this venue. And it doesn't make sense because they don't have any. They can't because of the state laws and no federal oversight, and they can't because – they're putting a lot at stake for this. If we're right, and I think we are, because I think we could gather 50 people in a room, follow college athletics, and say, is this right or wrong? And I think every single one of the 50 would say that statement is correct. That the way that what Tennessee is being charged with here is basically standard operating procedure now. So why they feel like that is worthy of this? Another couple lawsuits. They've been sued so many times.
Yeah.
Why is this worth it? You're not like if even if you got Tennessee, even if the Tennessee, you know, if their AG stood down and you got Tennessee, what's it change? You still have 80 to 100 major conference schools still doing the same or similar things.
If the person who makes the decision to go after at the NCAA level, the person who makes the decision to go after the Tennessees, the Miamis, the Florida States of the world, who have all been in NIL jail, if you will, and who has made the decision to go after, you know, to all the lawsuits that the NCAA, you know, files or whatever. Whoever makes those decisions is like the John McKay of coaching when McKay was with the Buccaneers. Like, you never win. You're
right.
The NCAA never wins a lawsuit. They have to stop. They should. Somebody should say, you know what? This hasn't worked for us before. Maybe we should not do this. But
one of the interesting things about this is the NCAA has multiple. You know, people are trying to push the NCAA out of business, at least rhetorically, and have been for a while.
Yeah.
The NCAA has a lot of reasons to exist. The NCAA tournament doesn't exist without the NCAA. I mean, that's one really good reason. So, but the biggest reason that it exists right now, at least economically, is that, like, if everybody left and formed their own organization, it would be all the, you know, it'd be all right. The same people, and they apparently would want all the same.
They do the same things, yeah.
But here's the thing. You don't get to sue the NCAA anymore. Now they're suing your organization, and you're not capitalized at their level, and you don't have the experience. But it should be a shield. It's a shield that you would want to have protecting you. But just like the burglar alarm that you have on your house, you don't want to be tripped. You don't want somebody tripping it every 15 minutes. You just want it there in case one person trips it. Instead, the NCAA puts the burglar alarm up there, and then keeps giving people reasons to barge in the door.
Mike DeCourcy, who's winning the Super Bowl?
San Francisco's a better team, but I think that KC can follow the Detroit roadmap and do a lot of the same things and get that lead. And I think that if they did, they wouldn't mishandle it in the way that Detroit did. There was malpractice is a strong word, but within the confines of those 60 minutes, I think it fits. Not even those 50 minutes, in the final 21 or 22 minutes, because the first 35 or so were wonderful. But the final 22 minutes, this is what we do, is not a reason to do something. That's not how you coach. You coach according to what the circumstance is that's provided to you, and you don't pretend like the NFC Championship game is the same as Week 5 against the Panthers.
I personally think they lost the game because they made more physical mistakes than coaching errors, but that's another matter altogether. But you went a long way of to say Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes, because that might be enough.
Patrick needs help, and he got it from the most amazing, like the fact that they won the Buffalo game and the clinched the Buffalo and Baltimore game on long passes to Valdez-Scantling after we all saw him drop multiple passes that were game deciders. I mean, let's be honest. Like, that guy deserves, like, the whole Super Bowl week hype thing. Tell his story, because guys don't drop those balls in big regular season games and then come back and catch them in the conference championship or the playoff game. That doesn't happen in NFL. Like, usually that guy's never seen again.
I agree.
And in his case, he was seen on the brightest stage starring.
Unbelievable. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, the reason I'm a Liverpool fan, we'll have to get by next year without Jurgen Klopp. We'll talk about that another time. Yeah, I know.
Yes, we do. We do.
But we need 3 points today first, so let's get him versus Chelsea.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Mike. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News here on the Adam Gold Show.